Welcome to the Candid Community Leadership Podcast. This is a podcast where we seek to equip you as a business owner, a community leader, an entrepreneur, or a leader wherever you have influence. My name is Emily Russ, and I serve as a Director of Workforce and Marketing at Marion Economic Development Corporation in Marion, Iowa. Our organization, in partnership with the Marion Chamber of Commerce, recently hosted candidate forums featuring individuals seeking a seat on the Marion City Council, Linmar School Board, and Marion Independent School Board. While the forums happened back-to-back throughout one evening, we've chosen to release the recordings as separate podcasts. This recording features the candidates running for the Linmar School Board. Remember to vote in the upcoming election on Tuesday, November 7th, and enjoy listening to these individuals as they share their perspective and thoughts on the district.
Thank you, everyone. Although I'm not from Marion, I want you all to know that my husband graduated in 1974 from Linmar, and he's a, And he told me to say that when I came. Before I get underway, I'd like to also personally thank the candidates for spending this time and giving you all an opportunity to hear from them, and thank you for showing up. I just said this to them, but I'd also like to say it to you. We are very fortunate to live somewhere where we have so many people who are willing to serve their community. And I am really excited for asking questions and hearing more about why they want to do that. And I hope that we'll all be polite and respectful in this process. So the candidates are going to respond to a variety of topics that were pre-selected, but they were not shared with the candidates in advance. Additionally, there were questions submitted online, and some of those were incorporated into the questions I'll be posing. If I don't get to some of the questions, I'm sorry. We can certainly talk about providing that information to folks through the Marion Chamber of Commerce. There are not going to be questions from the audience, so please do not engage in that type of behavior. We're hoping to give an opportunity for the candidates to use their full time when we have the questions that are posed. So we're going to do this on a rotating basis. That means each candidate, I hope, will have the opportunity to have the first and last remarks throughout the evening. I'm going to do my level best to keep track of eight people that way. I have a matrix, but I do not have an economics or PhD in math, just letting you know. So we're going to start with an introduction question that will be 90 seconds long, but the rest of the responses will be 60 seconds. And as I've informed the candidates, we have a timekeeper down here, and they'll want to keep an eye on him in the front row there so that we can be fair to everyone. And so I am going to begin, and the first question is an introductory question. I'm going to ask the candidates to introduce themselves and tell us what it means to you to be a school board candidate, and I'm starting with Mr. Buchholz.
Thank you. Appreciate everybody coming in this evening. So just a quick introduction first, and people maybe get tired of hearing me say this, but you know, I'm very, very fortunate and blessed. Been married to my high school sweetheart for 47 years. We were very fortunate to have three sons, and I have three daughter-in-laws. Of those, my three boys and two of my daughter-in-laws went to Linmar. Fortunate to have nine grandchildren, seven little girls and two boys. Three of those girls go to Linmar as well. So that's really what drives me to be on the board. I've been in the financial services business now for 40 years, and we moved here 30 years ago, and Linmar was a destination for us. My son, oldest son, was into music, into band, and the two younger boys were into athletics. And as soon as we came to town, people led us this direction. We wanted to buy a home here. We wanted to be in this community. I've been very fortunate over the years. I've served on a number of strategic planning teams on the Linmar campus. I was on the Linmar Foundation for 8 years, and I've been on the school board for 12 years. Out of that 12 years, I've been on the finance committee 12 of those years. And 3 years, I served as president of the Linmar board as well. So my main objective and goal is to keep Linmar, keep Marion, keep Cedar Rapids, keep it as a destination. And we really feel today academically and all of the co-curricular activities make this a destination for all kids that want to come to our school.
Thank you. And may I call you Barry? May I call you all by your first name? Well, that'll be shorter. That's all right. I appreciate it. Justin, you're up next.
Thanks. My name is Justin Foss. My wife and I moved to the neighborhood we're in 10 years ago to raise our family. We've got two kids who we choose to enroll in the Linmar District. We are within the Linmar District boundary. It's a fourth grader and a seventh grader. I'm proud of them. I'm proud of the teachers and the staff and their fellow students. I've served on boards across eastern Iowa and across the state. I have reffed hockey. I have coached baseball. I have poured ketchup for kids in elementary school. I have taught third graders how to ride a bike. And in my professional career, I'm a project manager. I'm PMP certified. I've got my MBA, so I understand finance and contracts. I was awarded the Corridor Business Journal's 40 Under 40. I've done a lot at my age. I believe in kids, in the staff, in public schools. I know that we've got kids and staff who have the same beliefs as me, and we've got kids and staff who have different beliefs than me. And we need to respect all of them equally because they are all relying on the public school system to provide them that uniform education. I understand that sometimes that comes to a heated debate, and that is why it's important to attack the problems and the differences with curiosity and to listen to understand instead of listening to simply respond.
Good evening, I'm Katie Lau Lancaster, and my first response right now is I've not been on this side of the lights. I had a permanent resident up there for about, I'd say about 15 years of every single concert that was in this place and band opportunities. I'm proud of Lynn Mar. I remember being in my mom, my sisters would have their events over at Novak, and that was our original stage. I had the lead in the musical when we had the little auditorium, and we thought that was amazing. Then we came here, and we thought, there's no way we could ever fill this space. I'm proud of Lynn Mar to be a school that understands that we need to continue to take in the students that have come into our community and our area, provide them with an excellent public education, to do so with dignity for all students, to continue to be adaptable, to be flexible, to look to new ways to reach one another, to be community and be known that this is a community that is dignified, valued, where people will be seen and heard. You know, I never had yet a teacher that I couldn't reach out to on behalf of my children and ask them questions. And I never had a teacher ever receive me with other than, Katie, you can do this. Let's grow together. Thank you.
I'm Tom Law, and lived in the district for about 40 years now. Three kids, they all went through Lynn Mar, had a great time, great education. When my son was in high school, he wanted to be on the basketball team, and so was at all the games and kind of got to know the coaches, and they wanted me to volunteer to keep the stat book. So I did, and then they ended up having a great team in 2004. They went into the state tournament, and I thought, okay, I get to watch them on TV. Now the coach says, you're coming. It's like, okay. So the school's been great. It's been wonderful. My kids are all grown and gone now. I've been on some church boards, so I kind of understand, you know, the organization of stuff a little bit, but I'm looking forward to see if I can help out and continue Lynn Mar's great legacy.
So I'm Britannia Morey, and thank you guys for coming. For me, education is where it begins and ends. It's what I do in my professional life. I work for an education nonprofit. I spend my days writing programs to help kids figure out career and college planning, what they're going to do after they graduate from high school. And I do that with every high school in the state, and it's incredibly rewarding because I get to see the impact every single day of what a quality education does to transform a life, to uplift a family. And for me, there's no greater way to serve my community. My husband and I moved to Marion 7 years ago, specifically so that our son could start his education at Lynn Mar. I am a data person, I did all the research, and Lynn Mar's the destination district. It's the one everyone talks about. You want success, you want opportunity, you want variety for your child, you go to Lynn Mar. So here we are. And I couldn't be prouder of the accomplishments that this district has, the opportunities that it makes available. And for me, being a candidate, I've been on the board for 4 years. I've served two as president. I've been on the Finance Audit Committee for 4 years. I've dabbled in the policy, CTE, SIAC, all the different opportunities, and I've learned so much about what this district has to offer and what this community expects. And schools are the heart of our community, and that's where my passion comes from. Helping to connect our students with the community, with businesses, build that workforce, make our community stronger through a strong public school system.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Kevin Slayman. I'd like to thank Medco for hosting this and for the people attending tonight get a chance to hear what we have to say. I was born in Cedar Rapids. Went to school at Jefferson, continued my education at the University of Iowa. I graduated in education, physical education, and coaching. After graduating, I spent some time as a substitute teacher. In fact, I actually substitute taught here at Linmar. That was many, many years ago. When asked why I have decided to run for this board, I'd like to share my story. We all have a story and why we want to do this. In February of 2020, my wife and I, we were placed in a position of having to make a decision about our grandson, who at the time was 4 months old. He was going to be placed into foster care, or we took him. I was just coming off a hip surgery, and my wife came home, and I said, yes, he's coming with us. Over the course of the last 4 years, we have had the opportunity, and we've had challenges, but in September of 22, my wife and I officially adopted our son. Wow, that was fast. Anyway, with my background, I want to get quick here, with my background in education, municipal boards, building, finance, and years of nonprofit, I believe I can bring a valuable experience to this board. Thank you.
Kevin stole my thunder. I was going to thank Medco. And all you guys. I still thank you all for coming. I love the enthusiasm that this election is bringing, that so many people are interested. It means we really love our kids and we love our school. And I think that is commendable. My husband, Mike, and I moved here almost 40 years ago, and bought a cute little farmhouse out in the country, a four square. We still live there and raised all of our kids there. And now our kids are grown up. They've moved away. We've got 12 grandchildren, which is kind of fun. Our business is stable, and our life has just slowed down so much that we thought, what a great time to kind of give back to our community. So we decided that maybe it was time that I would run and hopefully get to serve on the Linmar School Board. I have to really talk about the current school board. It has had many accomplishments. They've navigated the district through multiple building projects. They led recovery from derecho. They survived COVID. And this last year, they developed an impressive strategic plan for the next 6 years. I give them my respect to each of them. I don't know if anybody's out in the audience or not. But those same years have not been without controversy. COVID was unexpected, and the challenges were varied. And the gender issue, for which we are now nationally known, it was a difficult time for all of us. We are still recovering and from the damage that was caused. I'm running not because the accomplishments of the current school board aren't impressive, because they are, but because the decisions made during those moments of crisis didn't maintain the integrity of the district or reflect the community standards.
Thank you, Medco. Thank you, Chamber. And this is an impressive turnout. Thank you all for coming. I'm Jody Trahern. My husband and I have been a part of the Linmar community for the past 15 years. We have 3 kids that go to Linmar, one that just graduated and now is at Iowa State, one that is currently at Oak Ridge, and one that's at Echo Hill. My husband and I have been very active members of the Marion community and involved in many aspects of helping Marion become this amazing community that it is today, and we're really proud of that. I currently, for my background, I work for a healthcare IT company remotely. My corporate office is in Atlanta, but most of my work revolves around healthcare IT data and analytics and practice management. I've served on multiple different boards, most notably a nonprofit in our community that focuses on helping families. where I have served in executive leadership for the past decade. Additionally, I do have formal leadership education and training from Notre Dame's Madonza College of Business. I decided to run this year first and foremost because I wanted to serve. I want to serve our kids, our teachers, our staff, and help give a voice to the parents. I feel very strongly, if any of you guys have seen me on Facebook or anywhere, that we have allowed politics to creep way too far into many aspects of our lives, our schools, and onto our school board. I think we have so many amazing things going on for us in a district, and I want to see all of those things continue. And I see so many ways that my business skills can help improve that. So I think I provide a perspective that can help us improve and grow. And our family loves Linmar, and I'm excited to serve you and look forward to answering your questions.
Thank you. I should have done this earlier. If you haven't, please silence your phones. Thank you. Let's move on to the second question, and I'm going to start down here, so you'll go first. How does a school board balance growth management with fiscal management?
So that's a great question, and I think the key to that question right now is that we are actually in the fastest growing city in the state, but we're seeing declining enrollment. So when you want to manage the growth with the fiscal here, we really have to get a handle on what is going on with our declining enrollment, because that is going to impact our budget significantly. So I want you guys to take a look at this the way I see this in my data and analytics background. We look at this from a healthcare perspective. I bet if any of you go to a doctor, the minute you walk out the door or a days later, you get a survey. Hey, what happened? What was your experience like? We have all of these people that have been leaving our district, and never once have we asked why. We need the data around that. So we need to understand our trends. And I know that the district is thinking about this, because it's actually part of our strategic plan, is to understand those trends. And we need that data, or we're going to end up in a budget crisis that is going to really affect us financially.
I think what Jody said is great. I really hope that growth will continue. I am concerned about the ESAs and people leaving the district. I really feel like it's an important thing to figure out what it is that's causing people to leave and figure out a way to draw them back. We've got a lot of good people, and we need to make sure that we can keep them in our district. As far as the fiscal management, a budget is something that has to be examined and studied. I know we've got a lot of good people on the board that can do that, and when the books are open and I know we can get them at any point, but just being able to sit with educated people about the budget and make good decisions would be wonderful. But trying to keep the growth up, because we do have so many people moving into our district, and why we're not having our school grow is a concern. So I think that if we continue to focus on growth, that would be wonderful.
And again, I'm just going to repeat the question. How does a school board balance growth management with fiscal management?
In 2020, the population of Marion was 41,000 people. We are adding about 600 people a year to the population base. That means over the course of the last 3 years, we've added about 2,000 people. And our school population has declined since 2019. So as we are adding people, we are losing students. Over 8 of the last 10 years, we've had more students enroll out than enroll in. And so to address this as a financial aspect, it's costing us money. So how do we manage the money? The first question we have to get a handle on is, why are our children leaving? Why are families pulling children out of Linmar to go to other places? If we can't get a handle on that, we can't get a handle on the budget.
Balance between growth and fiscal management, it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of compromise and collaboration on the board. You have to listen to each other. Yes, we are having a bit of an enrollment blip. I'm not going to call it a trend yet, because it's 2 years. 2 years doesn't make a trend. And we also have to consider the parameters around that decline. We had an unprecedented global pandemic. We had people who preferred to stay home. We had people who preferred to homeschool or smaller classes. There are a lot of reasons to consider. And we're coming back from that. Every district is looking at what are we going to do. In terms of fiscal management, yes, enrollment drives our budget. And we have to look at enrollment every year, certified and student served. And what we need to look at there is, do we have the facilities and the needs to meet? Do we have the facilities and the resources to meet the needs of our current population while also balancing that with our budgetary needs from the state?
I have many years with Collins Aerospace, which used to be Rockwell Collins. And I'm an IT guy, so I've written a bunch of software. And so I agree with a lot of the other folks. You need to take the money as well as the attendance and look at them all year over year over year, study the data, try to figure out what's going on. And maybe one of the things, you know, some people mentioned, you know, try to understand why some parents are leaving or whatnot. Collins had a questionnaire that they would send out to all employees. And you could essentially not only answer the questions, but you could write in your own comments. And you would, the survey would not send, it would send, it knew who your manager was, so it would send the information to the manager, but it would never say who you were. So we got a lot of good, honest communication that way. And it would be nice if we could maybe try to institute something like that here.
And Linmar has a long history, and we are looking at 2 years of a worldwide pandemic recovery and looking at it as trends. I agree, we need to study our data and our information, but in doing so, we also are reminded of our excellent staff that it continues to guide us and to point these things out to us. It is hard work. The reason I have my notebook in front of me is that all the data that I study is coming from our online resources because it is all freedom of public information. Everything is there, and I'm studying because I'm still a lifelong learner. I'm curious because I want to know how we can move together better and forward. But I want to just bring out a couple things. Linmar has a history of being a little bit of panic, but yet abundant. I still remember in the 1980s when we were concerned Collins had a big turn down. We would not survive. 1980s, guys, that was the year I graduated.
School finance is complicated. In fact, yesterday, Britt gave an hour-long Q&A to talk through school finance and dispelled rumors that we've been hearing in the community about a $15 million deficit. In reality, that's not there, just somebody wasn't reading the charts right. It's not easy, but understanding the difference between growth management and fiscal management, public school enrollment in general is going down in many communities. We can't sit here and ask why is Linmar doing something wrong when it's something that many districts across the state and the nation are seeing the same thing. There are trends going on in the public world that we have no change over. We have no control over. With that being said, as long as we continue to offer a good program, we will get people that continue to want to come here. We need to make investments before and as they are needed. We need to think about what's needed. I keep remembering hearing this one piece about Linmar. Linmar is the school district without a city. We have many cities that we serve, and it's hard to, for a lot of folks to call us home, but this is home.
We could talk, we could talk all day on this, but when it comes to growth, growth is a big deal, and I want to just bring a little history back in. For the first 4 years that I was on the board, we grew by 400 kids per year. That was a tremendous problem to have, but it was a problem because we had to build a new elementary school every 2 years. We didn't have any money, and then in the middle of that, our governor decided a 10% budget cut across the board was going to be important. Did we panic on that? The leadership of the school stepped together, all the teachers, all the staff, everybody pulled that together. So there will always be financial challenges. The challenges of allowable growth. You know, we need to get more, you know, the inflation grew by what, 8, 9, 10% this year, and we're getting a growth of 3%. That's not enough. We need more. And then back to the losing students. The pandemic was a big, big deal. And we've actually lost students through that statewide. Talking about a trend, every school district in the state is down some kids, and they're down kids because we really don't know where they went, whether it's homeschool, neighboring schools, or whatever that was.
Next question, we'll start with Justin. How can Linmar work to improve its approach to diversity, equity, and inclusion?
How can Linmar work to improve its approach to diversity, equity, and inclusion? I know that there are some folks who would say that those three letters shouldn't belong anywhere. I believe that they do. I believe that they're important. In the last year, I've got to celebrate one of the first Eid celebrations from a family that invited me to come over to their house. That's not my religion, but it was an amazing celebration. So what can we do? We can encourage it. And we can and say, look, we celebrate all faiths, all backgrounds, because the students who are in the public, who the public is coming to us, the students, they have those backgrounds. If we stand up here and say, this is my value, thou shalt, it doesn't make sense to try and encourage DE&I. We understand that it's important. We understand that people look for people that they can relate to. And the more that we can push that and have a welcoming atmosphere is the best way to continue to move that forward.
DEI, I mean, there are states that are saying that is no longer a value in our state. And they look around and their people are saying, but wait a minute, I'm different than the person sitting next to me because I have my own story. You know, DEI is more than your sexual identification. It's more than your color of your skin. It is who you are at the core of who you are in a public setting and being dignified, respected, not only by the students next to you, but by the staff, by your coaches, by your mentors. And it starts when our community is known as a place that is safe for all people. You know, I remember very heartfelt, my daughter was coming down the stairs at Linmar. And I'm sitting in the car being blonde and blue-eyed, and my daughter came down, and she is biracial. And someone called out, hey, Kirsten, what flavor is the rice today? And my heart broke. We are a community. We value all our people.
Yeah, thought popped in my head too, you know, the United States Constitution says that we're all created equal. And so from my take on this is, regardless of race, color, you know, ethnicity or whatever, we're all equal. We need to trust each other. We need to work with each other. We need to value everybody. And whether it's DEI or it's just, you know, we need to get back to what the Constitution started at is, everybody is equal, everybody's valued, everybody's needed.
It's great to say everyone's equal. It's another thing to make sure that it happens in our buildings and in our community. And this community is incredibly diverse. You may not see it at first glance, but when you start paying attention, you note. In our district, we serve families that speak 47, I think, different languages. And we support every single one of those families. We have services that make sure that when those kids show up and they've been in the country for a few hours, a few days, maybe they got off the plane at 8 a.m. and then they came to class at 9. We serve them. Our buildings have to have a welcoming spirit. We have to make sure that we have services and that we support everyone who walks through the door. That is the goal and the mission and the purpose of a public school. And so how does DEI work and how do we approach that? We have a great DEI committee. It's made up of community members who are all bringing their thoughts and their experiences to the table so that we can do better. Continuous improvement is what DEI is about. It's making sure that everyone is heard and everyone comes in feeling welcome and knowing that they are safe and that they have dignity in their educational experience.
Repeat the question.
How can Linmar work to improve its approach to diversity, equity, and inclusion?
And the reason I wanted to repeat that is because in that question, it seems like there's something wrong. Let me just give a shout out to the people here at Linmar. I think they've done a fine job with this. So we have to go back and look at diversity. We look at equity. We look at the inclusion piece. Diversity. We want to make sure that the people that come here, they feel that they're welcome. Equity, we treat all people as they want to be treated as individuals. We make sure that the school system is a safe and productive environment for them to succeed. The inclusion part was initially started to make sure our special needs children were included in the process. Now, that has been accomplished. What I'd like to say, and I'd like to finish with this, is I'd like to see the inclusion part also include parents.
When we ask how Lindmar can work to improve, my question is, do we need to improve? I mean, if we lived in a monoculture, it'd be different. America is the melting pot of the world. We have people from all over, and we can appreciate and learn from everybody's culture. It is really beautiful. I mean, I grew up in New Orleans. New Orleans, I mean, it's kind of like Marion, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, but we've got people from all over the world here, like we just said, like Brittany just said. But sometimes I think DEI can create division. People start looking at the differences in each other instead of the similarities, and I think that creates division. And sometimes when you look at what other people have and you don't have it, creates jealousy. So equality is not something we should always strive for. And equity or inclusion, you know, when somebody feels left out, we want to include them. We don't want them to feel like a victim. We want to empower people. We want to activate them in our society.
Okay. So I do think Lindmar does a good job at this. I think it's a constantly evolving process, though I agree with Britt on this. I think that with diversity, equity, inclusion, it doesn't just happen. You have to be thoughtful in your process. You have to continue to make it an inclusive environment. School has to be a safe environment for everybody, but with diversity, equity, inclusion, you have to be thoughtful in how you're including people. You have to be thoughtful to bring all minds to the table, to bring all walks of life to the table, to make sure that it is in fact happening, because that is how true leader, that's for us as leaders, we have to make sure that it is in fact happening within the schools. And that is just in life. You want to have all kinds of different ethnicities and people at the table so that you are being inclusive of everybody and making sure that you're creating a safe environment within your school for everyone.
Barry.
So diversity and equity is a constant effort. We're always working on it. You always have to keep in mind that our role as a school board, Lindmar Community School District, every student that lives within our boundaries, we're obligated to give them an education. And if you go back to 1965 when Title 19 was put in place, at that time, we cannot discriminate against anybody. We cannot force people away. And it just kind of an interesting piece of it. We keep hearing the phrase that we want to make sure parents are involved more. Well, parents are involved in this district like nobody can imagine. So when you put a piece to that too, is the fact that, you know, I received a phone call from a lady yesterday, a client of mine. She's got a 3-year-old son. She lives north of town. She is not in our district. She says, my son, he has special needs, and I want to bring him to your school. Is he welcome to come to your school? And that's because of the reputation of our special ed and our diversity program.
Okay, next question, and we're going to start with Laura. How must a board member differentiate policy setting from district management?
Okay, well, I think that policy is what sets the course for everything that follows. And policy is what the board is responsible for, kind of dreaming the dreams of where we want to go and setting a course for that. Then we have the superintendent that would be responsible for making that happen. She hires the teachers, she hires the principals, she makes sure that everybody's taking care of that. So as we hire the superintendent, we're holding her accountable to follow the policy that is set by the board.
We're gonna go that way. I told you I would confuse you with this and that I needed a matrix, but that's the way we're going. I will repeat the question. How must a board member differentiate policy setting from district management?
So the district management is a piece that we have to make sure that we're providing the people that are in charge, we're allowing them to stay in their lane. As a board member, what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to manage a budget, manage the policies, manage and hire the superintendent. Once we get those in place, then it's us to turn that over to the superintendent. Let her do her job. And I say her in this case because that's our superintendent is a female. But at this point, we want to make sure that we're not overstepping the bounds of what the role is of the school board and getting involved where sometimes we don't need to be involved. I had a question asked a couple days ago, what does a teacher have enough time? That's not our call. That's for the administration. So we need to stay in our lane.
So the role of the school board is the 30,000 foot view. We're up here looking at the district and seeing how does it all work together. When we set the goals, we set the strategic plan, we outline policy. This is the framework by which the administration then runs the district. Management, the board should not be micromanaging. That is why we have a superintendent. That is why she has a cabinet. That is why each building has administrator. So our role differentiating between policy and day-to-day management, we don't do day-to-day. That's not our job. Our job is to set the framework and then to set expectations and say, come back and tell us how you're doing. We set goals like we have in the strategic plan, and then we have checkpoints. Are we on track? If we're not, then the board has a conversation and we say, what can we do? What information do we need to make a better decision? Can we pivot and change? Or, hey, we're on track. This is great. Let's keep going. But it's not our job to run day-to-day operations. And it is sometimes easy to get down into the weeds. And that's where we hold each other accountable and we say, hey, nope, we're getting a little too deep. That's not our job. We set the framework and then we let the administration do their job because that's what they're trained to do.
Yeah, it's upper level policy, you know, high level to look at all this stuff and figure this all out. But yes, the superintendent and the principals of each school, you know, follow the policy. And the board works, you know, to make sure that all that is working well. You know, we trust the building people to do their job, follow those policies. Any new policies that might need to come along, you know, either the board, I'm not sure, I'm new at this, either the board works with that or they have a committee, but they need to, you know, evaluate national laws and state laws and city laws to make sure that those, you know, that we're abiding by all of that stuff when any new policies are created. And, you know, just continue to work with the superintendent and the board people to make sure everything is running along fine.
Well, when I was discerning whether or not to run for school board, I attended a class, and it was run by the Iowa State Association of School Boards. And in that, I learned more about what school boards doesn't do, a school board member doesn't do, than I actually did maybe what they did. Because in my mind, I always knew the names of the superintendents. And so I had this idea that, you know, it was just this friendly chat that was going on and on. What I didn't realize is every time I had that friendly chat, there were minutes that that individual could have been used towards the leadership of this very large and very vibrant school district. We have hired well. I was in a leadership class this summer and I heard this statement, backing your team, backing your key leadership, especially someone like a superintendent, trusting them to do their job that they have been professionally hired to do is not the opposite of accountability. We hire well because we know that we can have competent staff, that together we will stay accountable.
When we think about policy, we have to first off enact policies that follow the law, and that's all laws, even if we don't like the law. And we can't choose which laws we want to follow. We have to follow the law. In Iowa, school districts aren't allowed to just make up whatever policy they want, even if there's no law for it. We have Dillon's rule, right? it's complicated to understand what school districts are allowed to do and what they cannot do. When we think about district management, I do not have an education degree. I will say that now and I'll say that again. But I know teachers who do. I know administrators who do, who have dedicated their life to that. That is where they have expertise, and we need to let them do their job. We need to let librarians understand what books are best for our kids, because the librarians understand what kids are reading, what kids want to read. They're the ones who hear it from everybody. It's really making sure that we understand that our policies set the goals, let the staff do the implementation.
When you start talking about policy, some people's eyes glaze over because there's a lot of stuff there. There's attorneys involved, et cetera. We are just so fortunate to have the leadership team we have, our superintendent, along with all of our principals, our assistant superintendents. That's really what our role is: set policy, governance, meet with our legislators, try to get the best we can get for Linmar. We don't want to get involved any lower than that. We can't get involved any lower than that. When I say lower, meaning we have to stay out of the weeds. I know people get tired of hearing that. But the hard thing is, and I've managed 30 or 40 salespeople for a while, and you cannot manage that many people. You know, I call it participative management. They're doing their job. They're going to do the best they can do. We already know we have the best people here because we are a destination for teachers and staff.
Jody?
Is this on? Yeah, I don't think I'm going to say anything quite different than any of these folks. I mean, if you go out to the Iowa Association of School Boards, they actually give you a whole guideline of effective board leadership, and when it comes down to it, the board is here to set policy, to create vision, to help with all of the overarching vision for the district, not to get in the weeds. So that's why we hire such amazing staff, why we hire a great superintendent. That is for the day-to-day management. Micromanaging is not effective leadership and not anything that I think any of these board members would look to do. So.
Thank you. Katie, next question to you. When it comes to supporting the next generation of workforce, how can we provide programs where students can learn how to gain a competitive advantage in our community?
Wow, that's awesome, because we were just talking to our 23-year-old today as she's getting her first apartment all her own. How is she managing her budget? Can she afford her gas? Can she afford a transportation? Can she afford to park her car for cost? How are we preparing for the next group that is going into the workforce? Begins with how do we prepare for when they come into our school district? When all students are seen, heard, and valued, there is a sense of community here, and that community becomes contagious. When you think the best about one another, and as you continue to grow and you bring in more skills and you bring in the opportunity for more education and then all the extracurricular opportunities, you grow as an individual. And as individuals, we become respectful and aware of one another as citizens. We bring in the next generation because we are known that this school district, you will be valued from the time you enter, and my hope is way, way beyond your graduation.
Tom?
That's interesting because, you know, I grew up in a situation where you had to drive, you had to work, all that stuff. During the pandemic, Collins had a lot of us IT folks working from home. And in fact, a lot of them are still working from home because it's easy to do. You know, you just remote in, you know, you're working on Unix boxes or servers on site. You can remote into just about any server anywhere and do your work. And so it's something, you know, and looking at the kids that are in elementary school now, I have a sneaky feeling that when they graduate and get jobs, life for them is going to be even totally different yet. And so it's mainly just trying to stay in touch with what's going on, how it's going on, and then trying to work with our kids to make sure they're planning for their lives.
Britannia?
So the state of Iowa has an initiative called Future Ready Iowa, and it's based on studies and data that says 68% of our workforce needs something beyond a high school diploma. How do we prepare our kids for careers that don't exist yet? Because that is what we're doing. We offer differentiated educational opportunities. We have on-site, we have blended, we have skinny, we have big, we have venture, we have hands-on learning, we have CTE classes. We offer as many different opportunities for as many different passions as possible, and we help kids access that by having a diverse staff. We offer, you know, our kids grow fish. They build robots, they learn math and literature, and there are so many things that we're teaching our kids, and then our extracurriculars and our co-curriculars are teaching them how to be leaders, how to work as teams, how to do research, how to understand data and make great decisions. All of that builds our workforce, because that's what our employers are saying. We want people to apply for our jobs who not only have education, but can work together, and who can communicate, and who can maintain eye contact. These are all skills that we're learning in every single classroom here in our district.
I currently sit on the Remodelers Board for the Home Builders Association, and one of the things that we need desperately is trade workers. People that have learned the trades, because there's a shortage. Not everybody is destined to go to college. There are ample jobs out there for children that are in the high school level. We've partnered with Kirkwood. We have high school kids that are working in these programs to prepare themselves after high school. Not everybody is going to college. The cost has gotten exorbitant. And so from that standpoint, we need to make sure that these kids can come out with skill levels that will make them, that will prepare them to go to work in the community as soon as they're out of school.
I know in school you're just looking for your high school graduation, that certificate of graduation is what you really want. But wouldn't it be awesome if our kids at Linmar had a second certificate, like a trade certificate or an IT certificate, shop class, robots, manufacturing? I just think it would be really interesting if we could figure out a way to add a second certificate so kids are ready to work. And even if they had the second certificate and they're going on to higher education, it would still be to their advantage to have something that was practical that they could put to use right away to help pay for that expensive college education.
Yeah, well, I think we are doing an amazing job right now with a lot of our different partnerships and things that we do. I'm going to give a shout out to the Venture Academics program at Linmar right now, because you know, all your kids are, I'm sure with you, several kids are just a little bit different, and our teenage son was a very reserved kid, maybe struggled a little bit in algebra and stuff, but when he entered into that program, our husband and I just watched him absolutely come alive. He was a kid that wanted to go into business and marketing, and to watch him be able to take a pitch start to finish and said, hey, you know, Jody and Dad, can I pitch this to you? This is what I have to do, and I'm going to present it to the Medco team. And then to have our friends at Medco come back and be like, hey, I saw your son do this pitch, and he did a really amazing job, and he took the, you know, he took his idea from start to finish. And I think that some of the things that we have in place right now are really preparing our kids for that workforce. And it was something that was new to me, and I really thought it was amazing.
As we move forward, academics are critical. Trades are critical. Jody mentioned the venture program and the fact that we're building a new administrative building so we can make room in our other building for the venture kids that are being pulled out of the high school. I shouldn't say kids, young adults. I have two 16-year-old granddaughters. One goes to Linmar, one goes to Olathe, Kansas, lives in Olathe, Kansas. At Christmas time, the two of them sat down, and the one Olathe saw what Anna was learning here, and she just could not believe the classes she was taking. She couldn't believe the advanced classes, the fact that she's got a number of college credits already. All of those pieces just because of her drive and her academics and teachers that believe in her. As we move forward, that's going to be very, very critical. And it's just an honor for me to see the academics they have. I have a daughter-in-law that's a physical therapist, and what she had to go through to get her degree and what she sees her junior in high school is doing, she just can't believe what she's accomplishing.
Let's define success. Can we start with that? What is the success for students who graduate from Lynn Mar? Is it to go join the trades right away with the skill, with an apprenticeship? Is it to go off for a four-year college degree? Is it to go immediately into the arts? Is it just simply to graduate? Is it just simply to survive? Is it to go join the military? There are kids from Lynn Mar who fit into each one of these categories, and as a district, we need to continue to offer opportunities for each one of those backgrounds and goals and priorities of kids. How do we do that? We continue to fund in the arts and continue to fund in new facilities, like replacing this facility here so we can fit an entire graduating class. I hear calls about focusing on academics. We do focus on academics, and anybody who thinks otherwise, I think, needs to talk to kids from the latest graduating class. We do focus on academics.
All right, lightning round, 30 seconds each. What one thing didn't you get to say that you want to say in summary? Because we're running out of time, and we start with Kevin.
This election boils down to trust and facts. Since 2020, the census has continued to grow in Marion, yet student enrollment is down. We now have less students than in 2019. We have seen our high school rankings drop. Lynn Mar was rated as a high-performing school in 2019. In 2022, the last year available, Lynn Mar dropped to an average rating. Proficiency standards are worse now than they were in 2019, to the point of no grade at the elementary level has hit 80% proficiency. We need to change. We need to find an answer.
Britannia.
I didn't know which direction you were going, sorry. So Kevin's right, this election is important. Are we standing for public schools, or are we standing for questionable facts? We have rebounded. We just had an academic presentation. We've rebounded from 2019. We're at or where we were before the pandemic. We've closed those gaps. This election is about what you want this community to stand for and what you want your public schools to stand for. For me, I want a strong public school system that is welcome and inclusive to everyone and that stands up and welcomes all opinions, not just one group.
Tom.
I would like, I guess what comes to mind is you've had a chance to listen to everybody's ideas and thoughts. And I go back to the Constitution, you know, the power is with the people. And you have a choice to speak and to choose. And so this election is for you to choose.
I am from Lynn Mar, and I will be for Lynn Mar. I believe that we should have local leadership, that our influence of who we are as a public school is influenced and is dictated and is led by those who are local taxpayers, that the parents feel that they are valued, that the parents feel that they can speak and they have been heard, and that students thrive. All students have the opportunity to thrive here at Lynn Mar.
I believe in Lynn Mar. I came here. I enrolled my students here because I believe in it. I hear calls for asking for transparency. Tonight, you have all four candidates here to answer, or all eight candidates here to answer questions for you. Last week on Tuesday, you only had four. There are groups out here asking for all eight candidates to respond to questions. Some of the candidates here tonight do not respond to those groups, because they are not worthy of answering their questions. Transparency, we have to show it.
When I first sat down this evening, Mayor Nick was speaking. Mayor Nick was talking about how important Marion is, how important the community is, how important the schools are to the community. We have growth. We have people that want to move here. We have businesses that want to move here. That's very important. Me personally, I went to 8 years of Christian school. I was no more ready for high school, and so that's my proponent for public schools. And the last thing I just want to say, every decision that I make brings out my Christianity, my morals, and my ethics, and that's how I live.
Jody.
I just want to say that I'm here to serve. I'm here with a servant's heart. I have no political agendas. I truly believe that thoughtful debate is a good thing. Groupthink is one of the most dangerous things that can happen on a board when you have a group of individuals that's so tight that thoughts outside their own are not brought in. That is when catastrophic events happen. Things from Space Shuttle Challenger to the Titanic, some of the most disastrous things in history have happened because of groupthink. And I hope that today you take away that I am a thoughtful leader, that I have thoughtful debate, and that I truly love Linmar, and I'm here to serve you guys as a community, and to serve the teachers and the kids and the parents, and that I would be honored to serve you.
I was quietly living my life, really far removed from school. And I heard a lot of noise rumbling from Linmar, and my ears picked up. And I thought, maybe there's something I can do to help. I mean, I really do want parents to be heard, all parents to be heard, and I really do want to have local control, and I want a common sense approach to learning. The things that I've stood for were still things that I believe in, and if I am called to serve, I would be my very best to be a good ear and a voice of wisdom. Thank you.
First, let me thank all of you for your thoughtful comments this evening. Let's give them a round of applause. And on behalf of the Marion Economic Development Corporation and the Marion Chamber of Commerce, thank you all for attending this evening. Don't forget, vote on November 7th. Thank you again to everyone who participated, and I'd like to let you know that we'll have a 15-minute break, and next up, we'll be hearing from Marion School Board's candidates. Thank you.